Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us and joining us for all the Mile High episodes coming to you from an altitude of 5,280 feet. Before I introduce our guest, who I'm just thrilled to get to talk to and connect to, and for you to all hear, if you enjoy these podcasts, listen to them on Stitcher or iTunes or YouTube or wherever you download them. We highly recommend you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of Mile High Tick. And of course, clear your calendar for Mile High 2020, August 20th to 23rd, raising up the vision and raising up the consciousness and vibration around chiropractic healing and the world. Today, I truly am delighted and honored to have as a guest on our podcast, one of the few people in chiropractic that can go by their first name only. There's people in pop stars that can go by their first name, and there's people like chiropractic that can do that. But Dr. Arnold Bernier has been a true gift to the chiropractic profession and to the world and humanity, really uplifting and raising up the chiropractic vibration and bringing the gift to chiropractic and chiropractors in the world. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Arnold.
Danny, this is one hell of an introduction. and we are here, we're at 6,500 feet.
Yes, you're higher than me.
But higher than Denver.
So I've got to raise up my vibration to you.
All right.
So thank you for joining us. And one of the things that I'd really like to just start out with is that you've inspired so many people. You've inspired me so frequently and so many people. And one of the things that I know you hold the space for is that the potential for chiropractic and the potential for chiropractic for humanity to really create a new paradigm for humanity concerning life and health and healing. Can we start with the big stuff, like the big vision and highest reaching place that you see chiropractic could bring and has potential for?
So this is a great question. For me, when I was in school, I read a little pamphlet from BJ Palmer called My Message Analyzed, which is not that well known, not that many people have read it. It was a vision basically that BJ had as to what chiropractic could be for humanity and what he had envisioned it to be for humanity. And I believe that we are at the threshold of that happening because of the growing consciousness that we're experiencing through social media, many books, that bring a consciousness that makes the purest message of chiropractic available to the public to receive. So basically for me, you know, the adjustment is great. Many chiropractors in the profession use the adjustment as, quote, a natural treatment for different conditions. Sometimes they use it for, quote, health maintenance, for well-being. But truly, in the vision of the Palmer, the adjustment is a lot more than that. It was about uniting the man, humanity, the spiritual, with humanity, the physical. So to include man and woman. At the time, they used man, the spiritual, with man, the physical. But it was a more chauvinistic society. And I like to make sure that women are fully included. So I like to say humanity, the physical, and humanity is a spiritual. And it sounds very esoteric. However, when we really dwell into what is it that we are addressing neurologically in the body and physiologically in the body, we are really addressing the release of innate forces in the body, which is basically life force encoded with information, the same way that a cell phone wave is an energy encoded with information. Life force is encoded with specific information that innate has given directive to in order to operate the body. So that life force is actually spirit in the body. It's an intangible, invisible light, which is spirit, which is also sound. So it's a mixture of sound and light. And this is now becoming to be recognized by science. So to me, there was a reality when the Palmers say it is the purpose of the adjustment, the sole purpose of the adjustment is to unite the physical with the spiritual. I think they are right on. And I think we're at the threshold of this. Beyond this, what I feel very strongly is that dispensing, sharing, educating, teaching, not in a dogmatic way, but in a very honoring way, respectful way, the principle and philosophy of chiropractic can really empower people to live a completely different life, to respect their body in a different way, to treat it in a different way, to embrace a healthy lifestyle and a human potential lifestyle. So that's, to me, that's a great vision of chiropractic.
And I'm so glad that you've embodied that and taught that to so many people, because without you and a handful of people that I can think of, I could probably, less than 100, less than 20, I don't know how much that would have carried on. It needs to really be amplified as a message for humanity. And now I know that you've had the privilege, as I feel I have, of being mentored by some real greats in the profession. And I know you don't see that as chance. You just see that as divine organization, that you've come into connection with some of these people. Who are some of the people that had the biggest mentoring or gifts to that have given you over the years? And what are some things you learned?
It's really funny that you ask this, because yesterday I sent an email to Tom Gilardi because I felt, Jeannie Ohm just passed away. And I felt we always send, a tribute to someone once they pass away. And I felt Tom Gilardi has so impacted my life, has so impacted the profession with creating Sherman College. And he's going up there in age. We never know when something is going to happen. So I felt I wanted to send him a tribute. So I sent him an email, which is my gratitude for what he has done for the profession, what he has done for me, how chiropractic has changed my life as a result of being exposed to the teaching. So Tom Gilardi is very high on my list as a rock, a person that preserved, in quotes, the tablets of chiropractic, in quotes, the scriptures of chiropractic in a beautiful way, unwavering. Obviously, Reggie Gold was huge. We had Reggie Gold on a regular basis at Sherman for philosophy. Extraordinary teacher, phenomenal prober of minds. It was amazing. As you know, Guy Rickman at the time, Joe Fleischer were at Sherman, Lye W. Sherman, they were chiropractors that were practicing in Spartanburg while we were at Sherman. So for us, those chiropractors were a tangible, realistic example as to what they were teaching us in practice. We could go to their practice, and what they are teaching us in school is what is happening in their practice. So there was no dichotomy there. So it was a beautiful example. Earl Taylor, that was his name.
Yes, Earl Taylor, right? The Taylor Building, yeah.
So obviously, I used to go sometime to Life University, to DE, Sid William, Ziegefuss, were mentors. Bill Bain, Ron Aragona. A lot of people don't know those people. Amazing chiropractor from the time. It was a different time. Those people were seeing 800, 1,000 people a week. Chiropractic was blossoming. Madison Square Garden was filled with clients of chiropractic, patients of chiropractic for a chiropractic event. Madison Square Garden in New York, filled with people. So, those were the great time of our profession, because people were fearless, they were fired up, they were passionate, and they had touched the depths of the principle.
Yes, yes. And, a renaissance needs to happen to rebirth that thread through the consciousness of chiropractors. in a big way, because there's been a lot of darkness, but I know there's light there.
There has been this deconstruction, and then there's going to be reconstruction, and yes. That's from my friend Claude Lessard.
Yes, exactly. And then that's really the vibration that we're holding with Mile High, and I want to see that emanate from the center of the country, from the mountaintop. So there's something that I don't know if many people have heard you share, but I've heard you share a couple times. I think it's very profound, and I'd like to have you focus on it a little bit, which is I've heard you talk about how there's the three areas of chiropractic where people will come into chiropractic with a treatment model, okay? And they may correct subluxations and maybe focus on the spine, but there's a treatment model. And then there was another consciousness where they'll bring a correction model, right? And there's a correction intention. And then there's another level where they're being, it's not their technique, it's not whether they're doing diversified or upper cervical, it's who they're being, where they get into a soul level of practice. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I think that echoes what you were just talking about.
You know, I think this came from many testimonial gratitude card received from chiropractors when we were doing the camp. We had at the time a 6-day training camp,
right,
in Colorado and many different places. And from the impact of that camp on the model of practice that they chose to practice in, those people start to receive thank you card from patient, practice member, clients, whatever you want to call them, saying, you know, you are like a midwife to the soul. You are touching me at the spiritual level. And those people were practicing chiropractic, but their intention and their inner self, their positioning in their inner self, inside themselves, was so different than the average chiropractors, because they had realized that they had done the inner work, the personal work, to become a full instrument and a full channel for the adjustment to come through them. And also they had no other intention but to clear the neurospinal systems. There was nothing attached. There was not the hope that a symptom will go away, that a headache will go away, that a backache will go away. They had no other intention but I'm clearing the neurospinal system, and whatever will happen. And that clarity of being in practice is enormous. And I don't know if you have read the book from Richard Barclay, The Physics of Miracles.
No.
But at some point in the book, he talks about once you have an intention that is specific as to the outcome, you collapse the field of all possibilities. In other words, the universe is a field of all possibilities. And when an adjustment is done from that place, anything is possible. But the moment that the mind put an intention, a specific intention on it, it collapsed that field to the narrow window of that intention. And I saw that was an interesting thing, that in the physics of miracle, and when people have studied spontaneous healing, miracles happening, incredible transformation, the vehicle that was used, or the person that was delivering the medium for that to happen, was completely unattached to the outcome, completely free of whatever may happen. So I think this is maybe what you're referring to.
Yes. And that there's that focus is completely different. And also having that intention and that intentional focus for right. That person's healing.
And what I want to add to this, Danny, is that in saying this, I wouldn't want the listener to think, oh, now this is a very spiritual practice where only very spiritual people come in. No, people of all realm of life with all kind of condition will come to those chiropractors. However, a frequent gratitude, note of gratitude came to them relating to how it had touched their lives deeply and how it had touched them on a spiritual level. And as I said, I remember vividly, I think it was from Cheryl Berry, a card that she sent me where she said, you know, my client are saying that I'm a midwife to their soul.
Yes.
So it was a beautiful way of expressing it.
Yes, and it's a good way to express just caring people for people in your practice every day. you're a midwife to their opening, their growth. And with that, I know this is a topic that also you value, and I think relates the morphic field in terms of how that, the morphic field and how the adjustment and will impact that.
Succeed, what does that mean?
The morphic field, the morphogenetic field.
Oh, the morphogenic field.
Yes.
So are you talking about the field that we create?
Yes.
In the office?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So this is huge because in my view, a lot of chiropractors come out of school and obviously they are in debt, they're under pressure. They join practice management group that tells them what to say, how to do it. And they bypass the organic growth, especially today with the potential of heavy, heavy marketing. And they bypass the organic growth. And I always said that a practice starts from within. We are the epicenter of that practice as a chiropractor. And who we are as a human being determine who we are as a chiropractor. That comes first.
Right.
So in Zoe, Nova, quit.
She's connected to the field.
Basically, we create this field of energy, this field of consciousness. Zoe, come here. Quit. Come here. Sorry about that.
That's okay. She wants an adjustment.
Yeah. All right. She's going to sit right next to me. So we create this field of consciousness with our own being. And then as we educate clients, as we share the principle, the philosophy, more and more people start to merge into that field. And it became a nucleus at the center of your practice. And over time, organically, that nucleus will grow and expand from the epicenter. And then suddenly there is a point of critical mass where the consciousness of the practice now vibrate at a certain frequency and therefore attract people on that frequency level. And that's what I call building a practice organically. I know of many chiropractors that have worked with me that started in practice, and after a year in practice, 12 people a week, 17 people a week. And they would call me, Arno, I can't make it financially. I don't know what I'm going to do. I say, hang in there. You're being tested. You're being put to the task. And sure enough, boom, suddenly, virtually like an exponential curve explosion. And now they don't know where to put them.
Yeah.
So I have seen it happening organically without marketing, no marketing, just referral, word of mouth, reputation. But it takes for those people to have the willingness to know where they stand within themselves and to hang in there, because in every one of those people, they are being, quote, crucified, put to the wall, slammed to the mat of life, and the universe is saying, are you going to be strong enough to hang in there? And then once they pass through that threshold, boom, it seems that the universe deliver, and then that's it. They have an organically grown practice that is stable, that is stress-free, that is based on referral. They can go for 2 weeks on vacation, 3 weeks on vacation. The practice doesn't budge because the moment they come back, that consciousness, those people come back and there is no fluctuation in the flow of the practice, which is very different than the type of practice that are being, quote, fertilized constantly with constant promotion, constant marketing, and with the chiropractor surrender who they are as a human being at a deep level to embrace a persona which is usually practice management driven with very specific answer to specific questions, with a very specific methodology, and so on and so forth. So that's probably what you're referring to when I talk about the morphic field that we create as a human being in our own practice.
Yes, and then it becomes, I know people think this is destructive, but like a black hole that just people then are just come in.
That's right.
And pulled in.
Yeah. It is says in physics that black matter has more light than light matter.
Yes, yes. And, you know, with that and with your history, seeing the chiropractic profession through its stages, being around through the crucible of Sherman's birth at that point, and seeing where where the profession is, how do we, you know, what do you see is going on in the identity of chiropractic?
Well, I frequently refer to 1895, the birth of chiropractic, D.D. Palmer nurturing the infant, B.J. Palmer nurturing the child, and then when B.J. Palmer died in 1951, basically we were entering the teenage years of chiropractic that carried us all the way through the 60s, where as a teenager, as a profession as a whole, we were rambunctious, we were passionate, we were rebelling against the establishment, we were fighting against medicine, and we had the right to do so because we had been violently attacked by medicine. And the practices were exploding because there was that passion. And then past the late 60s, we enter into the young adult, you know, 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-old, somebody that doesn't know who they are, searching for their identity, trying to basically become like everybody else, to morph into the masses, into the normality of society. And that's where we lost our identity. At that point, we start to seek acceptance, we seek recognition, we are willing to surrender our linguistic, our language, the words that we use that are specific to our profession. We did all that. And now we are slowly emerging into what I would call the early adulthood of our profession. And I refer to this many, many times, Danny, that the responsibility of an adult is truly to retrieve and live its inborn potential. We are all born as a human being, as a pure, pure being with a specific potential. And our responsibility as an adult is to go through the process of expressing and living fully out that inborn potential. As a result, when we look metaphorically with a profession, I feel that now we are starting to just begin to retrieve the original purpose of chiropractic at its birth and at its early development, and that over time, that consciousness, that philosophy that is so beautiful, that is perennial and universal, with a specific language for chiropractic, will start to emerge again. And actually, I see it actually outside our profession, incredibly enough. There is many other fields that are now speaking our language, talking about universal intelligence, about innate intelligence, about the innate capacity of plants, of animals to do this or this or that, and talking about chiropractic principle of interconnectedness, of oneness of all things, of interference to nature. So you see it in many different fields, but our profession is still shy to speak about it openly. But I think it's coming. So I always say, you know, we don't know the end of the movie.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well,
we don't know the end of the movie.
The way I look at it, personally, is that it's always the darkest before the dawn, right? And if you look at any movie, right, you can think Star Wars. It's the middle of the story where things look really dark, right? And
right.
The Empire is winning, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's when the rebels will rise up, you know, in the grassroots renaissance. And that's what I feel we're seeing, because I feel like there's these last grips of reaching for insurance, reaching for, scope expansion to try to get some kind of recognition. And at some point, that's just going to break through, that there's going to be this new birth happening, breaking through like a plant going through concrete.
You know, there is a seminar in Europe called Grandir en Conscience, which means to grow in consciousness. It's a chiropractic seminar. So in Europe, where there is less availability to do adjunct therapies and all this,
right?
There is a growing nucleus in Europe of very strong, pure chiropractors that dwell deeply into the philosophy. And they have this seminar, and the title of the seminar is called Grandir en Conscience, and it's very well attended. So yeah, it's gonna happen regardless. You know, we are actor in the play of that movie, but beyond us, it's happening in spite of us.
Right, right. So now with that, and mentoring and working alongside so many practitioners in all stages of their career and their practices, what are some of the things that, and especially now, I think now with so much in student loans and so much going on in healthcare and the chiropractic profession and so much lack of philosophy, science, and art in the educational process. So when someone comes out and they're in their first year or first couple of years, what are some of the characteristics that you have seen of people that have been successful? And by successful, I don't just mean money. I mean the overreaching definition of success, the wider view of success.
Okay, so one, having a very strong base in the philosophy and being clear as to what chiropractic is and what chiropractic is not. That's foundational. Beyond this, great skills. Adjusting skill, structural, meningeal, soft tissue skill combined. So it's great skill. So to have, you know, a clinical application that match the strengths of their foundation in philosophy. Third, those people are highly disciplined and are working on themselves on all level. And they have a methodology every day to work on themselves so as to grow themselves and also to show up in practice being congruent with what they are teaching in regard to life, to health, to healing, to well-being. There is no way that you can teach people about healthy lifestyle, about well-being, about allowing the body to heal, about trusting life, about connecting to yourself spiritually, if you are not yourself living it. So those people have decided, I will live by example, and I will lead by example. So those are, I would say, the major characteristic. And behind that, very simple business systems. And business for those people is at the back end, not at the forefront. I see many, many graduates and chiropractors putting business at the forefront and serving people on the background. And the people that I've known that are successful, that are touching lives, that are becoming beacon of lights in their community, have put serving people, impacting people, influencing people at the forefront, and they have a simple business system in the background. So those will be the simple four or five characteristics that I've observed among those type of chiropractors.
Yes, yes, and vital. You know, bringing this back to the earlier conversation to kind of go full circle, we talked about mentors. And you started with Tom Gilardi, who is also incredibly impactful in my life. And I thought about something there, which is Lyle Sherman. So who was the mentor's mentor, right? So Lyle Sherman, I never met. Only heard stories, but obviously he had to have a very significant impact on Tom Gilardi, and you got to connect with Lyle Sherman. What was that? What was he like?
So Lyle Sherman was the director of the B.J. Palmer Research Clinic in Davenport, Iowa, while B.J. was alive. He was a humble person, a very quiet person. But he had an inner strength that was displayed, that showed through his presence. He would come into the room, and just his presence alone, that was so calm, so centered, so grounded, so strong. And yet he was a man of few words. He was very quiet socially, but He knew something. He didn't believe in something. He knew something. There is a big distinction between belief and knowledge. He knew something, and you could feel that. And I remember he would come in, and at the time they were teaching us a graph pattern with a neurocalligraph. Mm-hmm. And he would come in, and the whole class would kind of, wow, Light of the German is here. You know, so yeah, it was an interesting person in that sense, that you would expect someone like this to be flamboyant or very outgoing. No, he was a quiet leader and mentor. But you know, you knew you could go to him as a touchstone.
Yes. And
it was going to be right on, pure chiropractic, completely aligned in principle, no wavering. Yeah, a remarkable human being.
Yes, and then what I heard through that was also just his presence would impact. Just his presence.
Classy, very classy in his appearance. He stood up very, not straight stiff, but tall, straight. Yeah, he had a great presence. Beautiful being.
Which is a great lesson for all of us in terms of bringing that to your practice. And what presence are you bringing when you're caring for people and when you're teaching?
Yes. And actually, I don't know if you know that, but for 20 years, I practiced full-time in Pennsylvania. But when I moved to Colorado, I practiced part-time. And when I decided to practice part-time in the back of my house, in a barn that I transformed into an office, I had no sign, no card, no listings, all word of mouth, and I didn't do any education. I practiced in complete silence, except for, hi, Danny, good to see you. See you next time, Danny. And obviously, after 20 years of full-time practice, of 20 years of emanating the philosophy and principle of chiropractic, it was in my field. And unbeknown to me, people picked it up. And they brought babies and children. This was the most amazing thing. They keep bringing babies and children. I didn't say, you know, hey, what about your kids? Or maybe you should bring your children. No, no shoot of any kind, right? So go figure.
And, you know, that's a very important lesson, because 20 years practice quietly holding a space for something. And if you look at the chiropractic profession, I hold this optimistic view that there's a sleeping giant, and that the current paradigm in healthcare we know is not sustainable, and that there's a portion of chiropractic profession that is there emanating these values and is just waiting to explode, because we need to shift the paradigm, because it's not sustainable for humanity.
Well, it's not sustainable for humanity, but within chiropractic, the dominant way of practice, which is a therapeutic model of neuroskeletal conditions, especially for spinal condition, is not sustainable, because you cannot compete with the spine center from the medical profession. Right. That are, you come into a spine center within the medical profession and they're emerging everywhere. You right. have a psychiatrist, you have an osteopractor,
right.
you have a neurologist, you have a neurosurgeon, you have MRI, you have imaging on site. You cannot compete with that. You have physical therapy on site. They cannot compete. So to try to compete on that level is ridiculous. We are doomed. So the only, you know, there is a chiropractor from Norway that talk about the blue ocean and the red ocean. In the red ocean, you are competing for a small slice of the market. Mm-hmm. In the blue ocean, you're so unique in what you have to offer that the whole world is yours.
Yes.
And when you practice chiropractic, pure chiropractic, the whole world is yours.
Right.
There is no competition. You are the only expert in that field.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, we're grateful for you holding that space and also helping raise up so many in your years of contribution and growth through chiropractic. What would you like to share as we close out this episode? Is there anything last that you'd like to share?
Just make sure that when you touch someone, you're grounded, you're centered, and your heart is fully open, and you have left all of your personal life out of the door at your office.
Mm.
So that you can be fully present, and then when you touch that person, something unique will take place. Because even physiologically, you're in a different state of being, and just that alone entrains somebody else's physiology.
Mm.
So the adjustment is going to be icing on the cake.
Yes. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, Arno, thank you so much for gracing us on the podcast. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that? What's the best ways for them to get in touch with you and with MLS?
Facebook. I have MLS seminars with NS.com. We are revamping the cafeoflife.com website, but otherwise my email address is easy. It's ARNO@phone, but spell FONE.net. So very easy to remember.
Yes. And thank you so much. We look forward to, we're thrilled that you'll be at Mile High this year. That's exciting. We're glad to have you back. Everyone, thank you again for tuning in to, downloading, listening to the Mile High podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes, so you never miss an episode of Mile High Tick. We look forward to seeing all of you August 20th, 23rd, 2020. It's all 20s. It's a roaring 20s theme. And we'll see you on higher ground in August. Arno, again, thank you so much for all the gifts that you've brought to chiropractic and to the world.
Well, thank you, Danny, for what you're doing and for inviting me on the podcast, but also great thing, 2020 vision in 2020.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
That's what it is. So thank you, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you at Mile High.